You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You are listening to Perplexity.
Established in 1867, Fort Concho was built along the banks of the Concho River in San Angelo, Texas. It was designed to protect frontier settlements, patrol and map the vast landscapes of West Texas, and to quell local threats. Hundreds of soldiers lived there. They would have camaraderie, a second family, but they would also experience extreme trauma, battles, violence, and bloodshed. And it seems some of the residents of Fort Concho never left. As you continue to venture through San Angelo, you will also find many other haunted hotspots, from hotels to universities. So let's get into it. Today's episode is all about the story of Fort Concho and some other haunted hotspots in San Angelo, Texas. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a Mystery Podcast. As always, I am your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, don't worry, you're in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you're a returning listener, hello, my friends. Welcome back. Happy you're here. I have a paranormal episode for you guys today. And if you enjoy it, I just gotta say, this is normally exactly like something I would cover over on my Texas Urban Legends series on Patreon. So if that's your jam, go check out patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast or go check out the YouTube memberships. I want to shout out Michelle for requesting today's story. Trigger warning for violence, assault, murder, and generally disturbing content. Listener discretion is advised. All the sources I used for today's episode will be available down in the show notes. So, without further ado, let's get into the story of Fort Concho. I've never been to Fort Concho, but looking at pictures of this place, it seems quite unique and very large. It was constructed mostly out of limestone from this area, and it's made up of more than 40 buildings across over 1,600 acres. The buildings today can be toured, and they are labeled so you know what they originally used to be. It's like a bunch of long rectangular buildings and houses. And if you're listening on a podcast, there will be pictures of all of this on the Instagram page. If you're watching on YouTube, you will see all of the photos. So from 1867 to 1889, Fort Concho served as an army base and a headquarters for hundreds of soldiers. It was primarily the home for the 4th and the 10th Cavalry of the U.S. Army. It was also home for the Buffalo Soldiers and some very noteworthy military commanders, such as Ranald McKenzie, Benjamin Grierson, and William, known as Pecos Bill Shafter. Today, Concho is considered a historic landmark, and it has the original flooring. There's also a museum that you can go through. It seems like a really cool place to visit. You can even stay the night and go ghost hunting. Historically, we know many black men had fought and served in the Civil War through 1865. Right after this, in 1866, Congress enacted a new law. An all-black regiment would be assembled to be part of the post-Civil War nation, and these men were known as the Buffalo Soldiers. They were still considered part of the U.S. Army and served primarily on the Western frontier. The name Buffalo Soldiers was actually given to these black men by Native Americans, who at the time equated black people's hair to that of the buffalo. They considered this a sacred, honorable name. This term stuck and was commonly used to describe any black troops from 1866 to 1951. These units continued to be segregated, though most of the officers were white. There were, however, some black officers, including Lieutenant Henry O. Flipper. Flipper was the first black man to graduate from the military academy at West Point, and he actually served at Fort Concho in 1880. And something else that really shocked me when I was researching this is I came across several articles. There's a wild connection with Fort Concho and a familiar name to me, the YFZ. For people who don't know what the YFZ is, it is Yearning for Zion. And this was a insane, very big story. They've done documentaries about Yearning for Zion on Netflix. The child victims of adult grooming and sexual assault stayed at Fort Concho for a while after their compound was raided by authorities on April 3rd, 2008. The Yearning for Zion Ranch was just 45 miles from San Angelo. For people who still aren't familiar, if this isn't ringing a bell, the YFZ was an FLDS polygamist Mormon sect. Perhaps the name Warren Jeffs will ring a bell for you. This was one of his churches. If you still don't know what I'm talking about, watch Keep Sweet, Pray and Obey on Netflix. But this was an incredibly sick man who made a lot of young girls his brides and assaulted them, just did horrific things. And when their compound in Texas was raided, these victims had solace in Fort Concho. So Fort Concho has housed soldiers who have gone through insane amounts of stress, they've seen unspeakable things, and it's been a solace for abuse victims. So I feel like it's safe to say the walls of Fort Concho have held serious trauma, turmoil, and despair. So it only makes sense that there could be spirits lingering here that are having a hard time being laid to rest. So now that we know more about the history of Fort Concho and some key facts, let's get into the paranormal side of this story. I feel like after all of the research I did on Fort Concho, it's safe to say this is a very haunted area. There's been a lot of reported activity, from shadow figures to full-bodied apparitions, disembodied footsteps and voices, people being touched, and poltergeist activity. This activity has been reported by both employees and people touring here. Most activity seems to happen on Officer's Row, which is where all of the commanders lived. And there are many spirits that linger here. The employees have started to look back at a lot of historical records as they've experienced activity, and they've been able to piece together who they think these spirits were. One is 13-year-old Edith Grierson, who went by Edie. You might be wondering why a 13-year-old was staying here. Well, her father was a colonel, Colonel Benjamin Grierson, and it wasn't uncommon for their families to stay at the forts with them. Edie tragically passed away in Officer Quarters Building 1 from typhoid fever. She slept in this building often. Edie was known to be a very sweet and cheery child. In 2003, a man named Harold Dominguez and his family spent the night in the same living quarters. They weren't aware of the building's history, but by the end of the night, the Dominguez family knew who Edie was. Harold's wife specifically had a very unique experience. She described seeing the full-bodied apparition of a little girl in 19th century clothing. She was able to clearly describe the girl, so when she was later shown pictures of Edie, she knew this is the girl that she had seen. a man named Dylan Lane, a lead investigator of Concho Valley Paranormal, or CVP, also claims to have seen Edie when he was visiting Fort Concho on a school tour. Before he was a paranormal investigator, he was just 6 years old. Others have reported seeing her playing her favorite game on the floor, Jax. She's been reported to turn and look at you and smile before returning back to her game. She's also been spotted at the top of the staircase, wearing a long, peach-colored dress. Others have reported the sound of a young girl giggling, a ball bouncing, doors slamming on their own, or the sound of disembodied footsteps running up and down the stairwell. Others also believe that Edie's father, Colonel Grierson, also lingers here, as well as the wife. Objects have also been said to have been mysteriously moved in Officer Quarters 1. Some reports that I have read also said they've put Jax in Officer Quarters 1 before so that Edie would have something to play with. And when employees would come back, they would see that the Jax have been moved around from their original position. Another spirit that lingers in Fort Concho is a male officer, Lieutenant Francis Henry French. A woman named Rocio Monsibais that volunteered at the fort believes she encountered French in the officer's quarters, specifically in Building 6. Rocio recalled to Go San Angelo News that she was going to an event at Fort Concho when she walked into the officer quarters one day, and the smell of roses hit her. She had never noticed this smell before. She said the quarters usually smelled more like dirt, so she thought this was strange. No one had been in there. But then she learned the story of Lieutenant Francis Henry French. French was an avid gardener, and he ordered rose bushes be put near the officer quarters when he worked there. There's also the spirit of Colonel Ranald Bad Hand McKenzie. McKenzie was a decorated Civil War vet and the colonel of the 4th Cavalry. He stayed in Officer Quarters 3, and it was said that he had been extremely fond of his house. Some even say he was possessive of it. He led his men to victory in the Red River War. McKenzie also swarmed a large Comanche camp in 1872. They killed 23 and took 123 women and children as prisoners to Fort Concho. These women and children were in extremely horrid conditions. They were imprisoned during the winter time for several months, and 8 would die. And those are just the ones that we know about. It's said after this, the surviving women and children were sent to a reservation in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, in the spring of 1873. McKenzie also led his troops to a Comanche village where they captured more than 1,100 horses and slaughtered them to prevent recapture and make it harder for the Comanches to get around. People who have researched Fort Concho often come across this very upsetting story and wonder, why would they kill 1,100 horses? That's horrific. And I'm not justifying this at all, but apparently the reason for this is there had been a lot of back and forth with the Comanches taking McKenzie's horses, and McKenzie and his men would take them back. There was a particular situation where allegedly McKenzie's prized horse was stolen. He seems to be a more intimidating and aggressive spirit. He also had a very bad habit of cracking his knuckles, and visitors of Fort Concho today have actually reported hearing the sound of cracking knuckles. I gotta say, that's never something I've come across in a ghost encounter story. A staff member has also reported that he encountered McKenzie one day while looking out the window in Officer Quarters 3. He didn't see him, but he felt his presence and heard aggressive footsteps walking quickly towards him, and then the footsteps suddenly stopped. When he turned around, no one was there. Another spirit is that of James Cunningham, the only confirmed soldier to have died within the fort. Cunningham was a second sergeant and an Irish immigrant. He was known to be very kind and respectful, but he struggled with alcoholism, and this led to his health declining. Cunningham was diagnosed with liver failure and was basically given a death sentence. But because those at the fort were his closest family and friends, he didn't want to go back home. He wanted to live out his final days at Fort Concho. He lived on for another 2 months, then passed away in the old headquarters building on Christmas Eve. Since Cunningham's death, his ghost has been spotted by many visitors and employees. They've reported hearing his footsteps in the old headquarters building, and he also apparently gets upset when women enter the building. Okay, Cunningham. For whatever reason, he doesn't seem very fond of women. Maybe it's because they weren't allowed at the fort. George Dunbar was a chaplain and a soldier at the fort. Dunbar's family stayed with him on site. Dunbar died defending Fort Sill during a siege, but his ghost has been spotted and heard throughout Fort Concho. Some say he returned to watch over his family. Dunbar's disembodied voice has been heard in the old schoolhouse/chapel area, and he is often known to be accompanied by a female spirit. Some people believe the spirit could be his wife. Concho Valley Paranormal, or CVP, has done an investigation here, and they have a 36-minute video up on YouTube, so I will link that down in the show notes. I did watch it, and they had some interesting things happen. They captured a lot of orbs on camera, specifically in the living quarters, and one in particular really caught my attention. You can clearly see it go across the camera lens, down, then back up again. So it has a very abnormal movement, not like a piece of dust falling from the ceiling. CVP also experienced some unexplained noises, like footsteps, whispering. They got some EVPs, they had a lot of camera malfunctions, and objects were moving on their own. Some of the investigators of CVP team also reported feeling nauseous, or they felt like they were being touched. Another area at Fort Concho that is known to have paranormal activity is Barracks 5. There are war reenactments done here, so the actors sometimes stay overnight in the barracks. And one report I found was a man claiming that one night when he was sleeping in the barracks, he saw a man walk over, stoke the fire, then leave. But when the man left, he noticed that this mysterious man left through the door without opening it. Then, when he was telling another actor what he had just seen, a chair in the room moved on its own, almost as if someone was pulling the chair back to sit down. Around this same time, another employee was walking around outside the barracks and saw a pair of disembodied legs walking around the building. Another employee had previously reported seeing the upper half of a body nearby. This same employee also had another experience where he was walking the grounds and he saw someone peek out from behind one of the buildings. He described it as a man dressed entirely in white clothing. This employee approached the man to say something, but when he turned the corner, the man had vanished. He also noticed that he had never heard the sound of crunching gravel when the man left. This employee later did some research and found out that a lot of the soldiers that worked in this part of the fort wore white canvas clothing.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Some other general things that I found mentioned was that this was a violent fort. There was a lot of turmoil here. These men had to spend 24/7 together, so sometimes they turned on one another. There were some murders here. There was also a lot of hostility with the townsfolk. There were sometimes riots because the soldiers didn't like how they were being treated. And that's everything that I could dig up about Fort Concho. But I do have a friend that has family out here, and now I really want to take a weekend trip with her and do some exploring around here. I've been talking to this friend, Kenzie. Hello, she listens to the show. And I'm trying to figure something out. I thought that I could do a ghost hunt here, but I don't have equipment. So I found this company that offers you to like pay a fee and they'll take you. But apparently they don't tour here anymore. But maybe someday, if I'm able to visit here, because it's just a few hours from where I live, I'll definitely do a vlog for Patreon or something. It seems like there's a ton of cool things to see here. And I did watch some night tour videos on YouTube where a reenactment soldier like walks around and is explaining all of these really cool stories. A lot of stories that you can't find when you read articles. So that would be tons of fun. I tried to hunt around on Reddit as well for some paranormal encounter stories about Fort Concho, but I wasn't able to find anything. However, I did find this crazy story from the Let's Not Meet subreddit from Reddit user Banshee McGee. They had an experience around the area where Fort Concho is. They weren't touring here. It was like outside of it, but like just outside. And it's really creepy, so I wanted to include it. They call it a metal detecting experience, and they say, quote, "In college, 2008 to 2014, I was an avid metal detectorist. I knew of an old military trail and a river crossing way back in a secluded portion of woods that I knew not many others were aware of. I finally decided one winter morning I was going to go and metal detect it finally. The trail is about a mile or two from a city park along the South Concho River in San Angelo, Texas. I parked my truck, got all my gear, which included a serrated knife for digging, and I began my trek through the raw woods and brush for the trail. About halfway into the trees, I got into a clearing and I found a tent and a campsite about 40 yards back from the river. It was very isolated. There were cans laying all around it, some clothing, and other things that made it evident somebody had been using it. I didn't hang around it for long, and I kept on my way. As I was getting past the tent, this haggard-looking guy came out of the brush just a few feet from me. I startled him as much as he startled me, and after some innocent chit-chat back and forth, he asked what I was doing in the woods. I told him about the old trail, my metal detecting stuff, and I lied that it was a pretty well-known site for hobbyists like me. The latter seemed to get him a bit anxious. He starts asking me if I've messed with his campsite at all, and I told him no, except I accidentally stepped on one of the cans. He was mostly concerned if I had looked into the tent itself, which truthfully I hadn't. The guy then related that his wife had kicked him out of their apartment a few days prior. He was just staying in the woods until he got back on his feet. Didn't really add up to anything in my mind, and I didn't ask anything else about it. Finally, I told the man I would be on my way, and with a weird look on his face, he suggested I don't go behind his campsite, because he had recently used the bathroom back there. Whether there was fresh fertilizer back there or not, there was no way I was going to be hanging around much longer, regardless. So I went a little further towards the trail. I wanted to metal detect, but I never felt quite comfortable. So I made a quick turn towards the river, and I headed back to my truck fairly rapidly. I never saw this guy again until about 2 years later. His picture was in the local news for being apprehended by authorities for the murder of his wife. He killed her and then buried her in the exact area of the woods where I encountered him on that day. Apparently, even though I can't recall if it was the very day of the crime or not, he had just completed the matter when we met." End quote. So this person literally came face to face with a murderer alone in the woods right by Fort Concho. Is that not so terrifying? It's insane. So yeah, that was the only thing I could really find on Reddit wanted to include that. So that's Fort Concho. I know that's a shorter story compared to how long we normally talk on these episodes. So then I started looking into some other haunted places in San Angelo, and there are a lot. Let's explore a couple other local haunts, specifically three. These were my favorites that I picked out. San Angelo was actually once known as the Den of Sin. There were a lot of brothels and bars on every corner, and the crime rate was very high back in the day. Among those crimes were murder. The Naylor Hotel at Concho Avenue and Chadbourne Street dates all the way back to the year 1881. The hotel has many names, which makes it a little confusing when you research it. It's been called Naylor, the Landon, the Nimitz, and the Townhouse most commonly. This hotel caught fire and burned down multiple times. There have been at least 9 confirmed deaths at the Naylor, including one murder. In 1893, the hotel's chef got into a vicious argument with a kitchen assistant. In a fit of rage, the chef killed this assistant, then set the building on fire in the hopes of covering up this heinous crime. In 1902, there would be another fire, and this led to the innocent deaths of many inside. When the hotel was rebuilt years later, guests of the hotel began to report the sounds of wailing and cries of pain. The maids reported seeing a figure weeping and cradling a baby. And I did find some confirmed reports of a woman who her and her infant died in the fire. So this makes sense. And once again, the building burned down for a third time in 1925. In the 1930s, the building was expanded from 2 floors to 6 and was eventually shut down in 1983, ironically because of city fire code violations. The ghostly figure of the woman clutching a baby has also been reported by several other people, as well as the apparitions of 2 children playing in the window. So that is the Naylor Hotel. Let's talk about another one. Less than 1 mile away is the Cactus Hotel. This has one of the most terrifying stories I have ever heard. I hate this story so much. They call this story the Straw Suit Man Encounter. Tyler Tennell is a resident of the Cactus Hotel and a member of Concho Valley Paranormal, the paranormal investigation team that has gone through Fort Concho. Well, Tennell has quite a story to tell. He learned about the Straw Suit Man from one of his friends. This friend claims that one night while they were visiting the Cactus Hotel, he saw a strange man in a straw suit standing in the hallway. This was an older man in a tweed jacket, and he had a cane that he was leaning on. The man seemed to be mirroring Tennell's friend's every move. When the friend called out to the man to say, "Hey, what are you doing?" they said nothing. Instead, the man dropped down onto all fours and charged at them. Just before the man reached this person, the straw suit man vanished. Yeah. No, thank you. As terrifying as this is, perhaps you could hear this story and dismiss it if it was only Tyler Tennell's friend that had seen the straw man. But there are more reports. A business owner's fiance once came across the straw suit man in the basement, thinking that he was a random old man that had been staying there and just was wandering around and had gotten lost. So she followed this man, hoping to help him. But when she followed him around the staircase, he suddenly vanished. The very next morning, another person staying at the hotel on the second floor would claim to see this same man. She spotted him on the second floor, and she said that he looked at her with dead eyes. The man's body contorted at impossible angles, and he crawled towards her at an impossible speed before disappearing. So I think it's safe to say I will never be staying at the Cactus Hotel. And if you do, be weary of the straw suit man. The last place we are going to be talking about today is Angelo State University, or ASU. On the evening of Saturday, April 27th, 1978, a beautiful young freshman named Leandra Morales would be brutally murdered by a sophomore named Robert Mark Wagner in the Hardeman Building, specifically in room 200. Wagner had become obsessed with Morales, and she declined his advances. Wagner stabbed Morales multiple times in the chest with a pair of scissors before strangling her. At 11 p.m., Wagner called police, claiming that he had just stumbled upon this dead body, and he tried to help her, but she struggled and scratched him several times on the face before succumbing to her injuries. When police arrived, they found Morales with her shirt pulled up. She had three stab wounds to the chest and other injuries that were consistent with being beaten. The pair of bloody scissors was also found lying next to her. The next morning, Wagner confessed, though he later pled not guilty to the crime during his trial. But Wagner was sentenced to 25 years. He was released in 2003. The Hardeman Building, at the time of Morales' murder, where this whole thing took place, was home to the journalism department. And staff started to report, quickly after Morales' death, eerie occurrences. These incidents continued to compile over the decades, but for whatever reason, they significantly peaked in 2003. Some say the reason that this activity peaked so much is because this is the year that Wagner was released from prison. Sightings became so significant, in fact, that Winston Hall, a columnist for The Rampage, started investigating. He compiled all of these reports into an article. Over the years, workers had heard disembodied footsteps in the hallway, faint arguments between a man and a woman, and even saw a full-bodied apparition of a woman on the staircase. Students had also been reporting at nighttime seeing the apparition of a dark-haired female in a white dress. And if you look at pictures of Morales, she is a dark-haired woman. The elevator was also constantly malfunctioning, and strange poltergeist-like activity seemed to be occurring, like unplugged radios being found randomly plugged in and turned on. But I will say, for all of these reports, there are many more that I came across who claim they worked here or lived here and they never experienced any activity whatsoever. The general consensus seems to be that Leandra Morales was able to eventually pass on peacefully. So if you ever venture over to West Texas, maybe make a pit stop in San Angelo. Visit Fort Concho. Peek into the abandoned Naylor Hotel. Stay the night, if you dare, at the Cactus Hotel. Or take a walk through the ASU grounds to honor Leandra Morales. You may come across some spirits lingering on the other side. And that, everybody, is the perplexing story of Fort Concho and several other haunted hotspots in San Angelo, Texas. I hope you guys enjoyed today's special episode. Thank you again to Michelle for requesting that I talk about Fort Concho. It was a really cool place to research, and I hope to visit soon. If you enjoyed today's episode, let me know. I would love if you continue to follow along, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, and if you're listening on a podcast platform, I would love so much if you left a 5-star rating and review. It really, really helps the show. If you want exclusive bonus content, and if you really liked today's episode, you want to hear the Texas Urban Legends series, go check out the YouTube memberships or patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I also want to remind everybody that we are still raising money for the Wilma June Nissen Amplified DNA Fund. The GoFundMe link will be down in the show notes. I myself have donated, and it would really mean a lot to Wilma June Nissen's daughter, Chrissy, who is working tirelessly to get her mother's case solved. You all are amazing. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brannon. Assistant producer is TJ McRae. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by leaving a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the best way to support. Have a topic request or a perplexing story of your own you'd like to share? Send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show further and unlock exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Perplexity merch and additional support links can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.
Moro Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.